prizes and quartets that number, what was it, eight or six, something like that. It was good. There's so much of a joy. There's so much peace that can be found in Christ. And this runs so opposite to the world we're living in. And it's not unlike what the Apostle Paul was living in the last years of his ministry, when he composed this letter that he sent off to the Ephesians. And we've just been the first three chapters are focused in on such powerful things that stand for what God was doing through Christ and by the Holy Spirit. We know who we are. We know where we belong. We know what can be accomplished by faith. We recognize our salvation comes from this, that we have reconciliation with God and with all other people in the world. We have this new unity, this new humanity that comes about from this salvation, and there is this marvelous revelation of the mystery of God that is found in the church. That's the lead up. And then in chapter 4, we take these awesome kinds of realities. I was so impressed with the prelude songs that Kelby led, because they were right down this line of what we have in Christ. And then, as chapter 4 begins, it turns on the word in the NIV, it's then. In other translations, it's therefore. So we have all of this in chapter 3, therefore what? And we have this first 16 verses of chapter 4 that lay out this movement towards maturity. A movement towards maturity. And he starts off that movement with four virtues: humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Now, I'll tell you that even in Paul's day, those virtues that he lays down were very counter to the world in which they lived in. And is it not counter in the world we live in? But Paul says the first thing, then, therefore, with all of this, be humble, be gentle, be patient, bear with one another in love. You won't find this said anywhere else in our world other than in Scripture and here and now in this passage. There is, when we do, it just weighs on me how counter this is to all that we see going on. We are to be gentle. We are to be humble. We are to be patient. We are to bear with one another in love. But why do we do these things? very quickly, we see that these virtues, no matter how counter they are to our social culture that we live in the political climate that we live in, even within the church, all the diversity going in different ways, these virtues are there for a really interesting purpose. That this is the specific character to be found in the body of Christ to maintain unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Where are we hearing a call for unity? Where are we hearing for a call to peace? These are important matters, and I think we must be very careful about it and honestly looking for these things. Because unity is focused then in seven different things: body, spirit, hope, Lord, faith, baptism, and God. This list is so interesting for how unique it is to what we live with right now. And even in, again, it came down even in ancient, in the first century after Christ. These words seem so different because these were unusual things to be unified in. But what are they? One body. Now, the body he's talking about, is it not the body of Christ, where Jesus Christ is the head? This body, we are to have this sense of being one, together. And yet we live as Christians in the world, just saying, I'm a Christian, people want to have more definition to that. What kind of Christian are you? But Paul's saying, one body. He also mentions one spirit. Now, we know that there's all kinds of spirits in the world. It's everywhere. We are our brothers and sisters in Christ living in other cultures are maybe much more aware of this than we are here. But the one spirit is, and again, think of it, I heard this analogy this week, that we should think of this spirit something like electricity that is everywhere. It is God's spirit working to give life to what God desires. One spirit. Now, recognizing there are all kinds of other spirits, we need to be focused on the one positive spirit that is giving God's life, extending God's life into our world. That's into us, into churches, into anything that represents the extension of Christ into our world. It is the energy of that is God's Spirit. One hope. And again, you can go back to chapter 1, verse 10, and you realize The one hope is that Christ is bringing all things together in himself. This is the hope. We live in a world that's deeply fragmented, and it's only going to come together through Christ. That all things come together in Christ. First reference is, again, chapter 1, verse 10. One Lord. Well, I've had a sermon on that not too long ago, so one Lord. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who is over all, with God. One faith, faith in our salvation, which is by grace through faith. One baptism. Yes, there were other baptisms taking place in other religions and other kinds of things, but we're talking about baptism in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then that one God. The Old Testament, so full of the one God who interacts with God's people in desiring them to live in a right way. And how much of our Old Testament is the failure of God's people to do just that? So if we were going to make a list of seven things to be unified on, would we pick this seven? Or would we pick something else? It turns out you can find points of unity all along through history, depending on different things. I'll bring up a real modern one coming from 1527. 1527, when the Anabaptist movement realized that they weren't where Luther was at, they weren't where Calvin was at, they were someplace else, considered really to be the left wing of the Reformation. They gathered together in a town named Schleitheim, and they talked about what is it that makes us unique from the rest of the world, the rest of, specifically maybe, rest of Christendom, and they came up with their seven. Believer's baptism, the ban, which is when somebody doesn't believe the way you want to believe, you in the church, you send them off. The Lord's Supper, the separation from the world, that pastors will be called from within the congregation, being non-resistant, the refusal to use violence to get their way, and the rejection of oaths. That let your yes be yes, you don't have to swear by anything else. You look at that list and you say, but, you know, Paul says, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over it all. I think we need to continue to go back to the core. This was what the Apostle Paul saw as the core of unity. And I think we need to be focused on that, because it's so easy to get moving off in other directions. And so he's talking about these. We have our four virtues, our seven points of unity, and then, of all things, he says, but to each one of us, Grace has been given as God, Christ apportioned it. Verses 8 to 10 is an interesting rabbinic midrash on Psalm 68, 18, which I read through it and I don't know what to do with it, so I'm going to move on, okay? But what do we have following that? So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I firmly believe that we look at the whole of those in Christ as having been given gifts. And then Paul, because you can go to other places and see these lists of gifts. You can go to 1 Corinthians 12. You can go to other places and find these lists that Paul has of gifts. And it's all over. But he talks about here that the gifts that are a part, are given by God's grace into the church, need to be equipped by five different groups. You talk about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These five are not the whole of the gifts of the Spirit in the church, but these are the equipping part of the church so that everyone is involved in service or ministry. It's unfortunate that so often we have sort of lifted up certain people to say they are special in the Lord. But I don't think that's exactly what we should be doing. That the calling, the gifts that are here in this congregation, that are spread out among the people and the community that we live in, these gifts are just as important as persons who hear the call and bless them, people like, the Schaffners. I mean, I'm thinking about the Schaffners. I'm thinking about the Dolls in Colombia. You know, from our own midst, we have seen people go into ministry. Special ministries in special locations. That's great. That's wonderful. But do not drag down or belittle your gifts for your work, your ministry here right now. And that's what needs to be happening more and more. Let's recognize the ministries of this church that go out and do things. I'm always amazed by this physically helping people through MDS and Habitat for Humanity, of people giving themselves to the work of Care and Share, of all of that. These kinds of activities are the activities that Jesus would be doing in our midst. And if you're doing them, don't let anyone who moves away for some other call feel like that's better than what you're doing. Because these gifts of service are building up the body of Christ. And as we build up the body of Christ, we see unity in faith. We grow in our knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. This is not maturity, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Centered in Christ, we are grounded. Centered in Christ and growing in maturity, in the fullness of Christ, we have our solid foundation to withstand the waves, the thinking that may seem new or exciting, waves that take over the nation. We need to be centered in Christ. In that bedrock of Christ. So that, and then he gives this definition. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. If you recognize that is the hope that was stated earlier, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each one does its part. Paul does not name specifically the stuff of his time that was pulling the church apart. Rather, he wants us to focus on what is pulling the church together. The one thing I would add, or one thing I think is important, that one of the things that takes us off of our foundation in Christ is by our fear of what is happening around us, or what we are told to be afraid of. Does not our foundation in Jesus Christ, if we are focused on Jesus Christ, what shall we fear? Where are we going astray? If we are focused on Jesus Christ, there's just so many different ways we can get off center. I'm not even going to go there. I'm saying let's focus on Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. And that's what maturity is. Maturity is focused on Jesus Christ. So we need those four virtues. Humility, gentleness. And I'm spacing on the others. But okay, so we have the four virtues. We have the 7 points of unity. We have five equippers, different types of equippers in the church. And this is to lead towards unity. So humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another. These are crucial virtues that we need to be evaluating in our own lives. Because they were first represented in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who faced all the violence and enmity of the world of Satan, was all the time humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love. So we need to recognize, or we need to evaluate, how are we doing here at Lockport? Recognizing this isn't, these, what Paul is writing to, this is meant for a church. He's not writing to Dorcas or to some other person, Aquila and Priscilla. It's to churches. We need to judge how we are as a congregation. Are we humble? Are we gentle? Are we patient? And do we bear with one another in love? And let's face it, no church is perfect. There are growing edges. And we need to work together and name those growing edges and do it together. And we can take those virtues and place them on ourselves. As again, if the congregation, the church, this body of Christ in this location, it does it to a certain extent, we work at it, but I don't want to be the weakest link. And I think we recognize the high call of these things that Paul lays out. Secondly, what draws us together in unity? Paul says it's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. But it would be so much easier to name an enemy that we can be against. That's the quickest way to gather together. Unity is to name an enemy rather than what we are to be unified in. What draws us together in unity? And thirdly, our use of the gifts of the Spirit that are given out in by God's grace. Do these gifts move us towards faith? Do these gifts develop the knowledge of the Son of God? Are these gifts used to bring the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? These are challenges that we all face. There is here at Lockport a core that's stable and works at things. We've weathered through all kinds of things lately, and you don't have to go back. I've only been here 12 years. There's a history of this church dealing with challenges from all along the way. Let's focus on what we have together in Christ. Let's focus on that. Is that not what the Apostle Paul is saying here in this letter? May we be always growing in maturity, where we discover the fullness of Christ here and in our own lives.